Message today is entitled The Quest for Wisdom. Many in past history have trodden paths far afield in their search for seemingly elusive treasure called wisdom. What, brethren, is wisdom? How is wisdom manifested? Is it by number of letters in the degrees that are appearing after your name? How does one truly obtain wisdom? We know from the scriptures that the fear of the God is as the beginning to wisdom. We read that in Proverbs. So today, brethren, let us take a look at God's word and see just what wisdom is, how it's obtained, and what are the benefits derived from the one who gains it. First of all, what is wisdom? The Old Testament word translated as wisdom is the word chokmah, and has the meaning of wisdom, skill, learning in life, and can refer to either secular or spiritual things. In the New Testament, the word sophia, with a related word, root word sophos, which means the same thing. Wisdom, wise, skilled, either secular or spiritual. Of course, brethren, we are concerned mainly with the spiritual, which we know has beneficial effects, and the physical as well. I looked the word wisdom up in the dictionary, and it was defined as the quality or state of being wise, knowledge of what is true and right, coupled with just judgment as to action, sagacity, discernment, or insight. I thought that was a fairly good definition from a secular source. But to make it spiritually sound, we need to add, according to God's word, the help of His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit teaches us wisdom. And we can always ask the Spirit for more guidance and knowledge of God's will in order to gain more wisdom. Let us turn over to a scripture in James where we get a picture of godly wisdom versus worldly wisdom. James 3:13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him demonstrate his works through good conduct in the meekness of wisdom. Who is wise and understanding among you? In other words, who has spiritual wisdom? Verse 14, but if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. In other words, if bitter envy and self-seeking is in your heart, in your life, you lack godly wisdom and are displaying more worldly wisdom. James is speaking to the church here. Verse 15, this wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. Because where bitter envying and selfish ambition are, there is dissension and every evil thing. Verse 15, in other words, far removed from the knowledge and wisdom that God desires for us to possess and to use. Let's read verse 17. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceful, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and without hypocrisy. We see then this wisdom that we seek firstly comes from above, from God through His Spirit, and therefore has great purpose for us, brethren. It is gentle, it is without pretense or pretending. It leads to peace and the showing of mercy. This sounds like the attributes of the Holy Spirit, does it not? There is reason for that. God's Holy Spirit and godly wisdom are intimately connected. Back to 1 Corinthians, Chapter 2, beginning verse 12. Now we have received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is of God, so that we might know the things graciously given to us by God. Verse 13, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Holy Spirit, in order to communicate spiritual things by spiritual means. Verse 14, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. When we are looking to ask God for wisdom, this scripture clearly shows us, or this set of scriptures clearly shows us, that the Holy Spirit teaches us wisdom. We can always ask the Spirit for guidance and knowledge of God's will in order to gain more wisdom. The one godly wisdom can only be obtained, experienced, and followed by those who have been given God's Holy Spirit. Godly wisdom is a spiritual quality and can only be gained through spiritual relationship with God. We only have to look at the fruit this wisdom produces to know that it is spiritual in nature. In other words, it is gentle, without hypocrisy, and it is peaceable and pure. These are not carnal qualities, but rather spiritual ones. We know that godly wisdom, the kind that we desire all to possess, is spiritual. So how then do we get wisdom? Well, I've prepared a way, three ways that we should follow so that godly wisdom becomes part of each one of us. Maybe let us call this the ABCs of getting wisdom. First of all, the A stands for ask the Heavenly Father for wisdom. Ask. This seems easy enough, but brethren, how often do we do that? Let's turn to James 1. James 1 verse 5. James 1 verse 5. However, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to everyone freely and does not reproach the one who asks, and it shall be given to him. In 1 Kings 3, you don't have to turn there, there is a perfect example of this, what Solomon asked from God. It was wisdom, and it was given to him abundantly. When we read through Proverbs, wisdom is spoken of many times. In the 8th chapter of Proverbs, we are told that God possessed wisdom from the very beginning of all things being created. Therefore, wisdom is God's possession, and it is a gift that he can and will bestow on the one who truly desires it. That begs a question for you and me. How do you or I show God that we truly desire it? It is not by traveling to some distant land, listening to someone else, but rather by asking our Father forth through heartful prayer to him, and through the resultant action, diligently seeking through the pages of his words, seeking to know what God's mind is, to know his wisdom for the good of others, and to produce godly fruit. At this point, I will pose the question that I think you may have heard it before in other messages, but it is worth repeating again. We who are parents and had a child come to us earnestly asking for something that we know they really needed to mature and grow strong, a gift that you possessed that would help them. How many of you would deny your child what they asked for? I would dare say none of you would. How much more then would our Heavenly Father give his children what they need and desire if we ask him. According to Christ in Matthew 7:11 and Luke 11:13, we won't turn there due to time, the Father would definitely give his children all that they need. Asking for wisdom from our Father, therefore, is an act of wisdom in itself and is pleasing to God. It shows our Father that we know we do not have it of ourselves, but through his Spirit we know that we need it and that he is the source of it. Remember, if we ask God for what is good and need it, he will give it to us. However, he does expect that we are given to result in good, in what we are given, pardon me, given to result in good and godly action on our parts for others. This is his wisdom that we need to continually learn. As we approach another Passover and Days of Unleavened Bread, it would be helpful for us to think about the good gifts and the wisdom that we have been given. And are we using these as Christ did to help others, to show the way to others, to sacrifice for others? As we near these days coming up, Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread, and we do our self-examination, an examination that really should be done continuously, we need to possibly consider to include that in our prayerful circumspection. Okay, the B, the second way of getting wisdom. That stands for being diligent in the practice of wisdom we gain as we go forward, brethren. If we meditate on wisdom and its application, it will seem counterintuitive to ask for it, to receive it, and then after receiving it, to never do anything practical to make it grow and produce the fruit that God desires and expects from it. God gives his gifts to his people so that they can be used to help them develop the character that makes them useful and usable. Also, so that others can be helped and uplifted. Let's turn to Romans 12, verse 10. Be kindly affectionate toward one another in brotherly love. Let each esteem the other more highly than themselves. Be not slack in business. Be fervent in spirit. Be timely in serving. Be rejoicing in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be steadfastly continuing in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and strive to be hospitable. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. What is the purpose of these gifts we have been given? You know, I could phrase this as, what is the wisdom in these gifts? What is the wisdom in these gifts? The answer, of course, is God's love. To become more like our Father, to perfect our character through the wisdom of godly love. And we can see that if we read on down. Let's go to verse 10. Be kindly affectioned toward one another in brotherly love. Let each esteem the other more than himself. Let's back up here. Actually, let's go back to verse 6. Back to verse 6 here. I want to emphasize this a little bit more. But each one has a different gift according to the grace that is given to us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the measure of faith. Or service, let us tend to service. Or the one who is teaching, let him tend to teach. Or the one who is encouraging, let him tend to encouragement. The one who is giving, let it be with generosity. The one who is taking the lead, let it be with diligence. The one who is showing mercy, let it be with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy, abhorring that which is evil and cleaving to that which is good. We are to perfect our character through wisdom of godly love. And we can see that through these verses. Verse 11, it tells us not to lag in diligence. And if we are honest with ourselves, we all fall prey to this from time to time. This is something that we need to recognize and overcome, brethren. Diligence and using these gifts we have been given to help others, to help ourselves, and to serve Him, how pleased will He and Jesus Christ be with their family if this occurs from us? Of course, diligence is an all-time process for us. As we consider it, we should apply it to the looking inside of ourselves, at our hearts, especially as the Passover approaches. So this is important, brethren, looking at how we are doing and diligently seeking out wrong thoughts, wrong ideas, and wrong pursuits. In godly wisdom, destroying those things that separate us from our Father and the one who gave His life for us. This now brings us to a third way to follow to get wisdom, the C, which stands for continually changing wrong thinking, wrong words, and wrong actions. The things that are attributable to the carnal mind, the old man. Those things that are diametrically opposed to spiritual wisdom. What am I really saying here, brethren? If we sift this down to its very essence, we are talking about repentance, changing and turning away from those things, those mindsets and those deeds that are incongruous, incompatible with God's law and His way. Correcting our paths so that they overlay and match the Father's way found in His word. I would like to give you a practical example of one way among many ways that might be ours that must change. For instance, have you ever heard someone say when they habitually blow their top, as the expression goes, very loudly and in an uncontrolled anger, they say, "Hey, that is just the way I am and I cannot change." Closer to the truth, brethren, is maybe they do not want to change. Do you understand that concept? That action and thinking is not the wisdom of God, but the wisdom of this world. In fact, this type of thinking should be frightening to each one of us, for it could be the unchanging attitude that keeps us from the kingdom of God. So, brethren, as we search our hearts before Passover, is there any attitude in us that is wrong, that we are unwilling to change? That is a personal assessment that we must all make of ourselves. Brethren, we must, with God's help, change the old mindset. We must change, repent of it, when we see it in our lives. God's word from the beginning to the end is filled with His desire to have His people repent, to change from the wrong ways, to return to Him and His ways, to be close to Him and build that close relationship with Him. That is godly wisdom. Listen to His words. Ezekiel 18, verse 30. "Thus I will judge you, O house of Israel, each one of you according to his ways, says the Lord God. Repent and turn from all your transgressions, so the iniquity will not be your ruin." Our Father's desire is for His people to align themselves with what is right and justice. In other words, His ways, where godly wisdom is found, so that they can blossom into a more perfect man or woman, a converted man or woman, a person able to help and show others the right way and be an example to them. Truly godly wisdom is found in God's way of life, because that is where truth and ultimate salvation reside. Repentance and wisdom are bound together, brethren. God made it that way, a continual process requiring time and introspection for each one of us, all the time. So as we approach another spring Holy Day season, are we gaining the wisdom to look at ourselves in every aspect, inside and out, inside our hearts, minds, and motivations, and outside to our personal example, to and for others? It is supremely important for us that we do this, brethren. It shows our Father that we have value, His wisdom, so much, so that we employ it to change in order to be like Him and Jesus Christ. Brethren, the quest for wisdom is not some adventure movie script, nor is it some unobtainable, unrealistic end of the rainbow goal. Wisdom is a gift freely given to us by our Heavenly Father. As the holy days approach, brethren, and they will come swiftly, we must remember these ABCs for obtaining and using wisdom. Ask God for it. He will not withhold it from us, for He knows that if we desperately need it, and we do need it, but He does expect us to be diligent in using it after we receive it from Him. It does not do us any good to be shelved to the back of our minds, hoping that it will activate at some time of great need. No, it must be diligently practiced every day to assure positive, righteous outcomes. And wisdom absolutely requires change, which really means a continuous mindset of repentance. A spiritual wisdom-led process God has placed throughout His Word. The man or woman who through God's Spirit gains his wisdom and follows it gains eternal life. Two closing scriptures I would like to end with. Let's turn to Proverbs. Proverbs 4, verses 7 to 9. Wisdom is the principal thing. Get wisdom, and with all your getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote you. She shall bring you honor when you embrace her. She shall place upon your head a garland of grace. She shall bestow upon you a crown of glory. Brethren, let us follow this quest for wisdom through prayer and the pages of God's Word, and practice it throughout all the days of our lives. Let's turn to Psalms 111, verse 10. Psalms 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do His commandments. His praise endures forever.